Connacht Rugby live match commentary brought to you in association with Murtyrabbits Galway, the ultimate rugby venue. Late night entertainment every Friday and Saturday nights till 2 a.m. Visit Murtyrabbits Instagram for more. Murtyrabbits, proud to support Connacht Rugby.
It's time to head to the Stade de Hamo. It's the last of the 16 games that are being played in both the European Champions and Challenge Cup competitions over the entire weekend. It's Connacht and Pau. And for Connacht, it is as big a European game as they have ever had. Your commentary team are Alan Deegan, but first we will say good afternoon, or dare I say good evening, to William Davies.
Merci Jean Bonneville, au Stade Hameau, pour la section pelouse contre Connacht. You're very welcome, folks, to the Pyrenees down here in the south of France on a beautiful, warm, late spring, or I should say early spring, it's hard to tell here. There was 32 degrees yesterday, it's 22 degrees now. There is not a massive crowd in, but there is a god-awful amount of noise coming out of the PA. I hope it's not getting over us too much. Hopefully that'll ease when we kick off. We're all set here. It's very simple for these two teams. The winning team will head to play in Benetton against... to head to Treviso to play against Benetton next Sunday. The option of home games for both of those sides have gone. So Connacht will have to get on the road again when they win. They won't care about that. They desperately need a win after the last two defeats. This is an opportunity to get into the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup, and it's to take on a team who essentially robbed them last weekend with a try that shouldn't have happened, but it did, and it got a win in the URC for Benetton. Alan Deegan is with me. Alan, we've been watching the two warm-ups. They don't have to warm up much because it's roasting here, and the wind has dropped and the rain has gone away, and this looks like a perfect evening for a game of rugby.
Oh, it certainly does. I'm just looking at the temperature gauge over there. It's saying it's 23 degrees now, which is lovely. It's just really, really nice. It'll be a very warm summer's day in Ireland, but here they regarded it as quite cold. Well, I walked down, I went around, walked around the pitch. There's a little breeze blowing. There's a couple of, as I said earlier on, the pitch is in a U shape, much like if you want to picture Croke Park, except that the end that does it, that has the Hill 16, just has a bouncy castle and a tent for beer and whatever at this end, in this ground. But there is a couple of gaps in the end that is filled in, and there's a bit of a breeze blowing through them, so it might have a minor effect on the game, but the breeze does seem to be dying down, and the pitch is perfect, and it should be there for a cracking running match. A lot of Connacht fans here, by the way.
There is a lot of Connacht fans. We've met them coming in. They've come from France, they've come from Italy, they've come from Denmark, they've come from Galway, they've come from all over. And they're expecting a big one here today. The Connacht team now walking off in front of us. We're in the main area here, standing up in the media area. And you can hear the Connacht fans. They're gathered. Some of them are here, some are on the far side. There's a beautiful park in behind the open end where you can actually lean up against the railing, which is very similar to Breathe. And you can also see the park, and beyond the park, if it wasn't a bit cloudy, you can see the Pyrenees, which is the key to this area. They take their rugby very seriously down here. It's major stuff for them, and they're doing particularly well in the top 14. And when we interviewed the captain, Martin Pugh, during the week, he was at pains to explain how much the top 14 means to them.
Oh yeah, it is everything. Like, it's everything to these guys. Like, you look at the history of this club, and they've been going since 1895, so like, they're a really old club, and they have won the Challenge Cup. They won it a few years back, and like, it might not be important to them now, but the fact that it has it in their history, they haven't won that many competitions, so the top 14 is hugely important. But you just wonder, there are so many of the non-French guys on this team. There's two Fijians, a Tongan, Australian, two English lads. You know, there's a way of they'd be looking at this going, no, we want to get out there and win. They've got also their back rows, got two of the French under-20s team that won the World Cup 4 years ago. These guys want to go and show that they're good enough to get to the highest level, play in the top 14, and then get playing for France. The number 8, and I can't pronounce his name, was in the French squad last season.
That's Sacha Zegger, is how I'm going to pronounce it.
Thank you.
That's giving me the hint. Let's go for the teams. Yeah, Sacha Zegger, we've just heard the PA man, we got it right. Okay, Connacht line out as follows: 15, Tiernan O'Halloran, 14, Shane Bolton, 13, David Hawkshaw, 12, Bundy Aki, back vital, 10,
11, Shane Jennings. 10, Jack Carty, the captain. 9, Caelan Blade. 1, Dennis Buckley. 2, Dave Heffernan. 3, Finlay Beelum. 4, Joe Joyce. 5, Niall Murray. 6, Cian Prendergast. 7, Seamus Hurley-Langton. 8, Jared Butler. And the Connacht replacements, 16, Owen de Butler. 17, Jordan Duggan. 18, Sam Elo. 19, Dara Murray. 20, Connor Oliver. 21, Matthew Devine. 22, JJ Hanrahan. 23, Tom Farrell. Now, Section Palouse Barn Pyrenees, to give them their full name. Mm-hmm. Poe is an awful lot simpler, but that's what they're called. 15, Jack Maddox. 14, Thomas Carroll. 13, Elliot Rudil. 12, Jail Vatumba. 11, Amanasi Tumaba. 10, Joe Simmons. 9, Dan Robson. 1, Siegfried Fish Ihui. I'm told that's how it's pronounced. 2, Yuri Delhomel. 3, Sayati Toko Lahi. 4, Willem Ducat. 5, Lekima Tagatvalu. 6, Martin Pouche, the captain. You might have heard his interview that we did during the week. Fascinating. He's got some Galway connections. 7, Theobald Hamanu. And 8, Sasha Ziger. Their replacements, 16, Lucas Ray. 17, Hugo Paru. 18, Gorham Papides. 19, Stephen Cummins. 20, Fabrice Metz. 21, Rhys Hewat. 22, Theobald Da Bagna. 23, Alex Dispers. And our referee is Andrea Piardi. And assistant referees are Federico Vedovelli and Alex Frasson. That's AR1, AR2. And our video referee is Matteo Liparini. They're all from the Italian Rugby Federation. Alan, give me a chat about the Connacht team. What do you think is there? There's been a few changes from last week. The big news, of course, is, look, Bundy and Finlay back is key. You feel that they need, as a leadership role, maybe something's been a little missing.
Yeah.
That's up to them, because they need to get on the front foot here.
They do, and Bundy will always get you on the front foot. It's something he's been doing all season for Ireland. And when he came back at Christmas time when we played against Munster, he was one of the main reasons we got that great win in. Finlay also brings a quality. You know, the tight heads, we're very lucky in Connacht. We've got some very good tight heads, but when you've got a tight head at the quality of Finlay, you're now looking at getting really solid line out, really solid scrums, and that's something that's really important today. We heard during the week how the POW are very into their set plays. They've picked a 6-2 bench, so it's up to the Connacht pack to make sure that they can get after them and make sure that they can hold their own, get some good ball, and if we can get Bundy on the front foot, he could just open things up for everybody else. I'm really looking forward to young Shane Jennings, who was a top notch under 20s and played for Ireland Sevens last season and when they had a great run. And you're looking at a situation where Connacht need to get out there, win, try and beat these guys and get into the next round in the quarter final. It'll be the first time they've ever won in a one-off European game away from home. And I was just looking at that say POW won this competition in 2005, where they beat one of our arch nemesis of Connacht, Sale, in the final, where Connacht had lost to Sale in the semi-final.
That's a loss I remember. I've made one error, folks. I'll fix it for you. Number 11 is Shane Jennings. I wrote that down as Andrew Smith. My apologies. Andrew Smith, I think, is here as one of the extra players. So my apologies to Shane Jennings. And if any of his family are listening in or shouting at the radio, I'm sorry about that. That was just an error. Now, the club song is belting out here. There's lots of flags. The support team, it's the dancing troupe to some extent. They've been putting in one hell of an effort here. Mm-hmm. Some of it looks positively difficult to do, tossing and lifting themselves up in the air and dancing. There is a huge atmosphere here, and the stadium now getting to about the crowd they expected, which is about 6,000. But this is really important in the south of France, Alan. The club song is huge. I think that's something we need to think about.
Oh, we certainly do. It's what do you call it? It's like the parish thing. It's you know, there's a parish feel to this. That everybody is now standing up, because this is an all-seater stadium, but everybody is standing up. Anyone who's got a flag is waving a flag. And you can hear it. You can hear it. Like this must be amazing when it's full. We're about half full at the moment, but it must be incredible when it's full. And I love the fact that the stadium, we're going to get a lot of echo from We're sitting up near the back of the stand, but it covers everybody, and I think we're going to get a good atmosphere at this game today, and let's hope we get a game that matches it.
Certainly hope so. The mascot Barney the Bear is out there. The team's coming out left and right. Connacht coming out to take the goal away to our left hand side. That's at the closed in end of the stadium. They're playing in pink jerseys, green shorts, and sort of pink socks. Some of them look a bit washed out, I'd have to say, but that's what they're wearing. And Palouse, our section Palouse, to give them their full title, are in jerseys which I'm seeing as very dark green, nearly black yeah. shorts and black socks. Our referees and assistants are in yellow, and this crowd seem absolutely revved up here. The best way to get on top in a game like this. Yeah, the Connacht fans below us now are starting to get moving as well. This is the opportunity, but the thing you got to do is silence the French crowd, Alan. If you can do that, they can get very upset very easily, switch off. You've got to start quick here.
Oh, they certainly can. I know I was looking at a quote during the week where Austin Healey reckoned this was one of the grounds where he felt most intimidated while he was playing for Leicester back in the day. He said the crowd really get behind their team. They're really, really passionate about it. And he said the only reason Leicester managed to win was that they got in front early and they held on to the lead, and the crowd turned on their own team in the end.
Well, let's hope we get a bit of that today. We're doing the countdown here. We're 18:29 local time. It's just coming up to 5:30. We hope you're joining us. 5:30 Galway time. Hope you're joining us from around the world and from our own Connacht. And that's picked up by Jennings. Takes it into contact from the kickoff. Palouse kicking down. Caelan Blade digging in at the back there. He finds Carty. And they're picked across, and Connacht maybe moving this. Bundiaki drives up to the edge of the 22. That's a good piece of play by Connacht, and they just need to get this clearance in now. It's back to Carty. He puts his boot through it, and he gets the kick down. And where will the AR mark it? It's heading up to the 10 metre. He's getting closer to the halfway line. He's going all the way. He's going to say it's right. It's half a metre inside the Palouse half, but we have a Connacht injury down there.
Dave Heffernan took a bang there in that first ruck. He took a bang and he hasn't got off the ground. He's been struggling. We can't afford to lose this early. They're showing a replay now. Might show what's happened to him.
Just having a little look there. There was a connection when this was on the first phase. Actually, it's fed out. Yeah, it's a good move across. Gone in very low around his neck.
I think it's a clash of heads, but both of them are so low. I don't think there's any...
I don't think... You couldn't say there's anything in that, but they're taking their time. The doctor's on his way out now to check him, so we've stopped the clock here. We haven't actually... Oh, we have 42 seconds. Sorry, I couldn't see. There's actually two very large clocks.
Yeah.
I don't know quite how I missed those. Good start, Alan, from there. They moved it across. It was confidence. Jared Butler drove up, but it was Aki who got the ball moving.
Well, what was interesting, and I'd said it to you in the warm-up yesterday when we were let the captains run, Aki was taking the kickoffs. The ball went to him, it looked as though he was going to take it, but Shane Jennings came in and took it, and Aki just took in a big arc and run to make himself available for a number outside, and he almost got away. Oh, Connacht are after getting a penalty for that incident.
Yeah, it looks like it. It's a referee, or is it a penalty?
Oh, it's a no-arms tackle.
It's a no-arms tackle. It's a penalty for Palouse. No, it's not. Sorry. It's
penalty to Connacht. No,
it's
a no-arms
penalty
tackle.
To Palouse. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're ready to go. So Jack Carty now. I wonder will he get as far as he actually did with the clearance kick, but of course, it's not as important because he's going to get the line-out throwing. He must get this into touch. Kick's on its way. It's high. It's down. And that's interesting because it barely gets... It just gets to the 10-metre line or a bit past it. Middle of the park, you see the earlier kick, he was near the line, but they have the line-out.
Oh, it's
Connacht
very important.
Fans, very important. Got to get this line-out done and dusted. Dave Heffernan is ready. And the referee will keep an eye on that. That was a no-arms tackle, so Dave Heffernan to throw in. Nice line-out to the back, collected by Seamus Hurley-Langton, who gets driven back a little bit. Jared Butler collects on the edge, and he's driving forward, up and over the 10-metre line. He's about a metre short of halfway. Finlay Beelam comes on. He crashes up over halfway, right in the middle of the field. Good pass out from Carty. Carty finds it out, drives through. Jennings is involved again there. Connacht cycling it back. Cian Prendergast just on halfway. We're just about a minute and a half in here. No score. Carty finds Aki. Aki again with the offload to Jennings, who's looping round, making metres, going through three, four tackles up to the 10-metre line inside the Palouse half. Connacht are on the front foot here. Dennis Buckley goes into the tackle, gets out of it, but doesn't make any ground, but he's okay. He's recycled it nicely out the back. Caelan Blade, then the kick from Carty. He's seen the gap through. That's a lovely kick down into the 22. That's a beautiful kick. I don't think it's a 50-22.
Well, it depends on whether they allowed him. Did he pass the ball back in? Jack definitely took a step back to be inside his own half, but I think the ball was passed back to him, so it's going to be a Palouse ball or a power ball.
A Palouse line out, 15 metres from their own line. Their hooker has picked that up. That's Yuri Delhummel. And rather slowly they come in. They're going five-man line-out, with the receiver being one of the forwards. Goes short to the front. Connacht nearly read it and get the tackle made. Dennis Buckley nearly caught on the off wrong side. Connacht driving in hard there. It's a rather scrappy ball. Cian Prendergast making a real nuisance of himself. And Finlay Balaam. No, it's not. It's Joe Joyce. And Joe Joyce is pinged.
Playing the scrum half. I'm just looking at our scrum half. Because that went to the front, Caelan was there and he went to stop the player on, and he got stood on. So he's actually, that's a horrible, right on his instep, he's got stood on. I think he's going to be okay, but it's a horrible one to get when you get studs in your instep just like that. He's limping away, but I think he'll be fine.
Clearance kick to touch is, he's got that down halfway between his own 22 and the 10 metre line. You wouldn't call that a particularly long kick. That was the out half, Joe Simmons, English player. I think he has a couple of caps for England way back.
So it's another. Certainly his brother does. His brother was superb for England in the Six Nations recently. His younger brother, that is.
Always pesky younger brothers. Delholm with the line-out. Now they go into midfield quick. Oh, the pass bounces and bobbles away. Referee says it went back, but that was very loose. Connacht are looking for it. Connacht have the penalty. And that's a scrappy start. He just knocked that up in the air. He wasn't expecting the pass. It was a loose old pass.
Yeah, it was a bit too high. It was at shoulder height, so he had to try and balance it. It's Tagi Takivalu, who I've been looking forward to seeing. He played for Fiji. He scored a try against Wales in the World Cup and then got yellow carded later in the game. I thought, very unfortunately, would cost Fiji that game and possibly a quarter final.
Gone to the corner, Connacht. They haven't gone for anything else. They didn't look at the posts. So this is Dave Heffernan to throw in 6 metres out from the section Palouse line. He gets it in this time. Joyce collects and Connacht get into the drive position. But they're up against a pretty tough defence, but they're moving. It's gone a bit sideways and a bit messy. So I mean, this is what the referees call. Connacht are still going forward, though. They're still on the drive. And they're over the line and the try is given. Trying to work out exactly who got that. And it's two. It's Dave Heffernan. It got very messy and then they sharpened it up.
They did, and one of the reasons they were able to sharpen it was that Bundy came tearing into it, because Palouse looked as though they had sorted out, they had stopped them from breaking through, but Bundy came in and just hit it with like a ton of bricks, which splintered the whole thing, and Heffernan was able to go through the middle as it splintered. But that's a fantastic start from Connacht, because Palouse have only had the ball for maybe 2 minutes. Or less than 2 minutes of the 6 or 7 minutes played so far, and made two mistakes. So huge start for Connacht.
That's a brilliant start. That came from a mistake, of course, because Toulouse had the opportunity to clear that and they messed around, then a bad pass into midfield. Jack Carty with the conversion kick. He is to the right of the posts, straight on, and he's about 10 metres in from touch here. He's placed the ball just outside the 22. We're coming up to 6 minutes gone. He's got plenty of time left on his kick clock, 44 seconds. Connacht lead 5-0. Can he extend this to 7? This would be a brilliant start for Connacht. Crowd rousing themselves to make a few boos, but nothing too excessive. Carty's kick is on the way. It's in and it's straight down and it's through. And Connacht lead by 7-0. And that is exactly what the doctor ordered, if you like.
No, it certainly was. And one player who came back in this week who gave them that penalty was Jared Butler. He was the man who got over the loose ball when Palouse stopped it and they held on, which gave Connacht the penalty, which they kicked to the corner and scored. So big kudos to Jared Butler on that one.
Number 10, Joe Simmons kicks off, gets it down near the 22. It's Aki takes it this time. He goes left, he goes right, he's tackled, but he's got players around him. He's made a metre or two there, actually, and Blade fades it into Carty. Carty across the line, Tiernan O'Halloran. That was a poor pass from O'Halloran. Dave Heffernan knocks it on, so it'll be a scrum inside the Connacht 22 for the knock-on, and that's a poor return from a kick-off. It's messy. It wasn't a great pass out to Heffernan, but he probably should have held on to that. I feel he was actually coming.
Well, he was being tackled as he caught
the
ball.
You could almost say he was tackled without the ball, but it's too close for a referee to call that. And if you went to the TMO, we'd be here half the day trying to figure out one step here, one step there. Connacht lead 7-0. 7 minutes gone in the first half here in the Stade Hamou in Pau. A beautiful afternoon. Now the band has started up. I was wondering when they would get going. They're a brass band, and I will guarantee you they would have been formed from the fire service. This is a tradition in these southern French grounds. Sometimes it's a bit tuneless, but it's quite loud, and they're getting going. So, can Connacht repel this? Yeah, the bass drummer's out. Scrum half has the ball in hand. Dan Robson. Robson picks it off the back, goes right, finds Simmons. Simmons out across the line. Hard tackles coming in by Connacht. Nearly missed one, but they're down inside. That was Tuimaba. Palou's going in from the side and over the top, surely from there. That looks a terrible decision by the referee, I'm sorry to say, but they've recycled. Connacht haven't lost a meter yet, so it's coming out across the line. Here they go. Oh, there was nearly an interception, but it actually went over the Connacht player's head.
I think if it had been anyone else but Caelan Blade, that would have been an intercept.
That would have been an intercept, and he'd have been gone the length of the field, but it just went over Caelan's head. Connacht dealing with this now. Out. Goes in. Cian Prendergast makes the tackle. He's got Finlay Beelam around. Joe Joyce tracking across now as well. Semi-involved there. Poe going through the phases here. They trail 7-0. 8 minutes gone. Inside the Connacht 22. Good hard tackle coming up in the line there by Aki.
Great line speed from Connacht. They're really getting in their faces. That's the first time they've missed a tackle.
They've done well. They're making the tackles, but they are now getting a little bit of purchase and bit of ground. But a driven back again by Connacht. Slow ball out. Connacht again. Maybe somebody coming up on the line missing. Jack Carty's turned back inside, and that's going to be a try for Sachan Palouf. The number 8 is in Sacha Zegur. Jack Carty might have been stepped inside on that tackle.
Yeah, that was a brilliant piece of play from Elliot Rudil, who threw a couple of sidesteps and then threw the most glorious little pass into the gap that he'd created, rather than trying to run through it himself. Because, as you say, the number 8 was coming at such pace, there was no way he was going to be stopped. As I said, this is going to be a shootout.
You have the feeling it is. But that was disappointing if you look at what happened. The Connacht got the opportunity. They got easy play on the kickoff, but one mistake and it went from there. But you know, you can't make a mistake like that. You can't knock the ball on when you're taking a pass. I know you're being tackled, but you've still got to get it right, I think, and that's allowed Poe to come back in.
Yeah.
Simmons with the conversion. It's 7 each.
It is disappointing to take an early lead, to quieten the crowd, and then not clear your lines. Like, they got away in the first time they kicked. From the first kickoff, they'd made some good ground. The second time, Poe were ready for them, had the big hits. They got the ball, and it's 7-0.
10 minutes gone. Jack Carty back in midfield with a kickoff. He's in the side of the field that still has sunshine. The shadow from the big stand that we're in starting to spread across, collected by Ducat. And there's a small form. It's got very scrappy again. Palou's a bit slow. They're trying to drive it forward. It's going sideways. It's not really, I'd say, going anywhere. It's got coming off at the edge, and the back is cleared down to Simmons, who puts boot to ball. He gets it down, collected by Tiernan O'Halloran just outside his own 22. He's going up now. Is he going to kick? He is kicking. He's kicking it high in the air and chasing after it. Niall Murray is a bit slow getting back, but he's okay. Simmons collects, feeds it out to the number 6, Pugh, who's the captain, and we talked to during the week. Simmons again down. Jack Carty collects it this time outside his own 22, almost in the same place. And Carty goes, kicks it down. He could mark it. He hasn't marked it. He's just decided to kick it back. Simmons again, and he's put it into touch. So you would say, on balance, they've won the yardage on that Poe, and it's going to be a Connacht line out 2 metres inside the Poe half.
They have, but Connacht get the ball and it is inside the Poe half, so it wasn't as bad as it might have been, because it looked as though when Tiernan was getting out, he was blocked on his way. The ref didn't see it. It was a semi-legal block to stop Tiernan from fighting.
A loitering
for the ball.
Block. He was just sort of half there, but not really there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit hard when you're that size not to be seen, but there you go. It's collected by Niall Murray from the throw-in, and here goes Butler at 8, making yardage again. They're having a bit of a problem with Jarrett. He's making yards. Back in the midfield, Finlay Beelam coming on the crash. That's something that's been missing in the last couple of weeks. It's out again to Carty. Carty inside, across, and Hawkshaw takes it into contact. There's a bit of a loose leg there for a Poe player, but it's out and fed again. Here comes Aki. Aki back inside to Finlay Beelam. Elam and an offload to Shane Jennings. And Jennings is up to the 10-metre line. That was pretty adventurous stuff. Here comes Carty. He's fed it out as well. Here goes Shane Bolton. Oh, and he's just ankle-tapped, and one of his toes hits the line. But Connacht are really up for this, Alan, and they're showing a lot of belief in their system.
They certainly are. And one thing they're doing is we're seeing Shane Jennings pop up all over the place. Oh, taking a quick... No, ref didn't like that one.
Well, he's setting up the line out and they sort of throw it back. That's almost like, I think we'll have a breather. Because this game is... And it's a warm evening. It may be a degree cooler now again at 21, but it's... Yesterday afternoon at this stage, it had dropped from 32 to 31. That would have been savage temperature to play rugby in. This is a bit better. Loopy old line out by Poe, but it's in and collected at the back, and they start marching up the field, and Connacht are in a little bother here. They've got to be careful that they don't get into a positions change, but Finlay's in there and Joe Joyce, and they have now stopped it. So the scrum half, Robson downfield, gets his kick. Bolton, he looked a little bit shaky under that, but he's on his way and he's up and over the 10 metre, and he's a big unit for a winger. He's fed the ball back. Blade inside to Joyce away. There's a pass, and it was forward. It was just forward, but oh, they saw a gap there. Seamus Hurley-Langton was pumping those legs. He was heading down to the 22, but I think it was forward.
It was definitely forward. We were directly in line with it. It was about half a yard forward, just enough forward. But what Connacht are doing is they're looking after the just outside the pillar. I think they're seeing there's some sort of gap there, because they've gone to it two or three times. We've seen Jared Butler do it. We've just seen Seamus Hurley-Langton do it. So I was keen off a pass from Cian Prendergast. So they definitely see something there. The other thing with Elksy, a little bit more of Shane Bolton. He looks very dangerous when he has the ball.
He is a hell of a unit, Bolton, and he was nearly away there, but they just ankle tapped him. He's getting some... Scott Fardy's talking to him, someone that's been seen on the sideline. We're having another little break here. Martin Pugh is having a chat with the referee, and I think the referee might be...
It's a penalty.
I wonder what that is for.
No, he spoke to the prop. Martin Pugh turned around and spoke to his prop, so he obviously did something. We didn't see it on the screen.
I haven't seen a replay of that, but that's interesting. We also had another little stoppage, which was more of a rest by Section Palouse. I think the hooker went down and needed a drink of water or something. So Connacht are back inside the 22, I think. We see as the ARE stopped a metre inside the 22, but Connacht are on the front foot. 7 each, 14 minutes gone here in the Stade Hamou in Pau. In
Jared
this round of 16 knockout game, and the band are banging away. They're trying to get Section Palouse on the move. They got on the move, they got the score, and they've switched off again a bit now, haven't they? Well, and that's another silly penalty.
It is a silly penalty, but Connacht have sort of held on to the ball a little bit better. Now, I've just looked, Jared went down a couple of minutes ago, and Bundy shouted to the touchline, look at him. But Jared just got up and went and played again. But he's on his knees. He's looking in a bit of trouble. Whatever it is, whether he got a bang in the head.
Yeah, it's interesting. The doctor is out there immediately having a look at him. He has been doing really
Connor
well.
Conor Oliver's coming on.
Yeah, Conor Oliver's ready. Jared looks... he's going off okay.
That's a HIA
because the doctor has him by the arm. But I'd have to say he's not exactly jogging off. But it's a 12-minute... wait irrespective here. Nice round of applause from all the fans on this side of the ground. He's going down the tunnel. He's not going very quick, and I just might be concerned that is a situation that we may not see him again. Now Conor Oliver is a set gun in. Cian Prendergast will probably go to eight, I'd say.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they set up in the next scrum. Connacht line out, Dave Heffernan. Six-man line-out. Finlay Beelam's at the back, so he's right behind Oliver. Are they going to go long to the back, or are they going to go short in the middle? Joe Joyce, the movement. It's collected in the middle by Cian Prendergast, and now Dave Heffernan drives in. He goes in very, very low, and Connacht are driving forward. They're up and over. They're inside. They're 15 metres short. They're 10 metres short now. It's fed out to Aki again. Aki with a little reverse parted into Carty, and it's outside to Cian Prendergast, and Prendergast is in the corner. The referee's arm is up. And the try is given, and he's not looking. Some of the fans put up their arms looking for the forward pass, but Connacht are back in business here by the looks of it. We'll have to see if this is awarded, Alan.
And it didn't look any issue to me. We're just waiting for a replay to come up on the screen. It looked all right to me, but that was some fabulous play from Connacht. Phase one play, beautiful line-out ball, brought it in. Dave Heffernan accelerated into the tackle so hard, it was incredible. Then Connacht got across the gain line again. Well, next carry, I think, was Finlay Beelum. Ball comes back to Bundy. Beautiful out the door, out the back door to Jack, who then throws a beautiful looping pass. What a speciality he has. Keane Prendergast did all the work to get into the line. That's three tries in a row, three matches in a row for Keane Prendergast.
So Jack Carty, a metre in from the touchline, just outside the 22, right-handed. So it suits the kicker, but it's still going to be a difficult one. The breeze that was at that end of the ground has now gone as the sun starts to dip down there. Carty is on his way. He's got the kick. He says he pulled it. He hasn't quite pulled it round enough. That's but Connacht lead by 12 points to 7.
Yeah, that was a difficult kick. It was only a metre in from the touchline. And I think he thought the breeze that is there, or was there, was going to bring it around, and the ball just never moved.
No, it just went straight. He was hoping for some pull round. Connacht lead 12-7 here in Poe. 16 minutes gone. You get the feeling this is going to be a high-scoring shootout game. Kick down. Jennings collects that. Goes left, goes right. And he's got plenty of support around him, which is important because sometimes Connacht get isolated on these. Fed out by Blade. He finds Dennis Buckley, who drives up and gets outside the 22. And Connacht moving slowly into position.
That's Blade. What was needed, a clearance kick.
Clearance kick by Blade down. Good Connacht chase. Jennings maybe slightly overran the carrier, but he's nailed him about 6 metres inside the Connacht half. Fast hands by Palouse getting it across. And it's down, and it's collected by Tiernan O'Halloran. O'Halloran gets his kick down. That's not a great kick. Didn't move the fullback enough. He should have been looking. Actually, it's Simmons, the 10. Should have been looking to run him around a bit. Jack Carty has this. He'll probably kick in a slightly different way. Yeah, does. Down towards the touchline. Collected again by Section Palouse. The kicking game. That's the fullback, Jack Maddox. He's pulled down. First time we've actually seen him with ball in hand. Dangerous player. He's 5-6 metres inside his own half. And it's fed inside to Ziggy Fishowee. And he's driving up. He's a big, the number one. He's got up over the halfway line. And Palouse again are looking for distance. That's a poor pass out. It stopped the whole movement for them. Connacht are still a bit stretched over there. It's gone across, fed through over the Connacht 10-metre line. But that was a poor pass, slowed it down.
It did, yeah. Connacht allowed Connacht's cover defence to get right across the field because they were outnumbered. It was a 2-on-1 if it had been a good pass.
Picked up by Robson. Floaty old pass coming out here to Tuimaba. He's making a few metres. Jack Carty nails him along with Bundy Aki. They're just outside the Connacht 22. They seem to wake up completely once they get past the Connacht 10 metre line. Up to that, it's quite lethargic from Palouse.
Yeah, they go up a couple of gears, don't they?
Yeah, that's what they do. I suppose it's the way the top 14 is played. And Connacht's defence is going to be worked very, very hard here. On the edge of the 22, runs around that, the scrum half. Not sure if Connacht have recycled it and got it. They claim they have, and it's a penalty to Connacht. And that's just an error caused by pure pressure by Connacht.
Yeah, it's been super tackling. There have been one or two tackles got away, but any tackle that's hitting, they're putting in. And I see David Hawkshaw made that tackle, and he put such pressure on the defender. The ball came bobbling out. Scrum half couldn't do very much with it. And by the time he got it to his winger, there was three Connacht players there, and Hawkshaw managed to get the turnover as well.
Tempted to say some of these Section Palouse players haven't played for maybe a month because of the two huge away games that Poe. I'm going to have to keep. Folks, yeah. It's Section Palouse or Poe. I'm going to do my best not to keep changing. But they played two massive away games. They could have beaten Clermont Auvergne. They should have beaten Toulouse last week. And away wins in France are gold dust.
Yeah.
But a lot of these players weren't involved in either game or the game before, which is a home game. Yeah. So they look a bit off the pace.
They certainly do, but Connacht are hitting them very, very hard. It's the big thing I've seen of Connacht this year. Defence.
Aki from that line out by Connacht. Oh, Shane Jennings drops a sitter, and it's knocked on. Oh, dearie me, that happens. But Connacht had them stretched again, and it's Aki is leading this line. It's like a totally different back line. The way he's coming round, he's calling the plays. He's pointing. He's gesticulating almost when he has the ball in hand.
Well, he worries opposition. that makes more space for everybody else because they have to worry about him. And so he gives a little bit more space. That was just a bit of bad luck there for Shane Jennings. I think he was trying to make a pass. I think he was going for a quick, you know, shifted pass, and he didn't quite grasp the ball. But Connacht have done well. They've managed to hold on to that lead now, and they've, you know, got themselves, making it difficult, more difficult for Poe to get into the game.
Connacht lead 12-7, 20 minutes, 20 seconds gone here in the Stade Hamu in Poe. The ball is on halfway. We think there's 6,000 in. It sounds like there's about 60,000 in with the racket they're making. Free kick to Poe, I think, from the scrum, which is bang on halfway, about 20 metres in from the near side touchline as we look out here. We're not right on top of the play, but we're a little way back. Connacht do the usual trick of a couple of the players walking a long way back, so they take a while to walk in, let everybody settle down. And Poe will feed in again.
Yeah, the Poe scrum has been on top for the couple of scrums we've seen. The last scrum where Connacht had, they got the ball out, but they were under a lot of pressure.
Robson here to put in. If you imagine it, that you couldn't be any more central. It's not right in the centre of the field, but this is a pressure situation. Blade is up having a look. Referees talking to them. He wants this in, and it is in. And they try to put the pressure on, and Connacht are collapsing in a bit. The penalty's given. So now they're on a free play. And Robson has given that a long, long kick down, which I think is going, it isn't going to quite go over the dead ball or over the goal line. So Connacht clear it. It's not a great clearance kick. And all right, that wasn't the he does this, Mr. P. He puts his arm out as if it's a penalty, but really all he's signalling is to, I think he's telling them it's collapsing in, play the ball.
It looked like that Finlay and the Loosehead both went down at the same time. So it was kind of hard to see who was at fault.
So Mr. Piardi confusing us there. That was a poor clearance. It's into the middle of the line, collected by Ducat, and now they come again. Poe, Connacht standing up in the tackles. They're going to be worked so hard in this defence, but they're still working away. They lead here in Poe. Poe working around the edges of this. It's quite slow ball, and Connacht have driven them back 3, 4, 5 metres back on the edge of the 22, but they're very patient in these situations. Simmons has gone on a loop run outside, so that's created gap, and you can see they're calling across there. Connacht realised they were a bit short on that side. Now I think that is a penalty because he's kept his arm up and it's still up. So Palouse will have, Poe will have a penalty, I think. Driven through by Ziggy, the number one, Fishholy. Big man, the crowd getting behind them here now. This is very important defence. Little chip kick over the top, bobbles away. Might be a situation where, that's interesting. He's going back for the penalty, but the crowd are saying, and I would agree with him, he was tackled without the ball.
I agree too, he was tackled without the ball, and I wonder if the TMO is going to come back and have a look at that.
He should be, because he got ahead of the Connacht defence. Now, is he going to go quick, or what's he going to do? He's gone quick, he's tapped and gone. Okay, no, they're not worried, but I think if that had been looked at, that would have been another penalty right under the posts. Connacht defending for their lives over on the far side. Slow ball again, but it's back inside and made, and Dave Heffernan is up, and that's a disrupting tackle. Now Bundiaki might be done for a deliberate knock on there, but I have a feeling that hit his shoulder. The crowd are really getting involved here now. This is real French rugby. Listen to the noise.
The ref's only giving a scrum. And so that's why they're so annoyed, because Bundy definitely knocked that ball on.
He did, and he's given a knock-on for the scrum, but surely, was it not a deliberate knock-on?
It looked deliberate to me. Bundy had his hand out.
We're getting a look at it. They don't show everything in France on the replay, but we're having a little look here. Got me binoculars. Oh, this is the kick through. Yes, he was tackled without the ball. There's no doubt. Here's the kick. You can see him. He hasn't got the ball, and he's tackled without the ball. And the crowd are even more angry now. But that all happened 3 minutes ago, folks, or 2 minutes ago, so it doesn't matter. But Mr. Piardi and his team are under a bit of pressure. That's a deliberate knock-on. That's a yellow card. It should be. Now the TMO has set it. We're back, I'm glad to say. And I'm glad to say nothing really has happened to Connacht in that meantime. Alan, you were watching it while I was redialing. What did they get up to there? Because they were under pressure, it looked to me, the last time I had my head up.
Yeah, there was 2 solid minutes of Poe back and forth, left and right, over and back. Some brilliant tackling all around. Dave Heffernan is playing like the international hooker that he is. He's smashing into people. He's causing all sorts of trouble. And eventually, Poe had to kick the ball away. Connacht cleared it. Poe line up, but it's on the 10-metre line rather than the 5-metre. 10-metre line just outside halfway rather than the 5-metre line, which is where they started.
So it's their hooker, Yuri Delholm throw in. They've shortened it down to three. It's gone inside and Ducat has taken it. It's rather slow ball into midfield, but Connacht have intercepted. It's Dave Heffernan again. I'll tell you a little story about that in a second. Anyway, Caelan Blade, Jack Carty looks for the kick. He's got the kick down and it's gone straight out. That's a poor kick, so it's going to be back inside the half. We were here yesterday for the captain's run. Just as I was walking out, I said to Dave Heffernan, "You'll surf tomorrow," and he just gave me a sort of a look and nodded. He didn't say anything, he just went and I thought, okay, he's ready to go. We know he's a class player. He sometimes, I don't know, he maybe struggles a little bit on occasions, but he's particularly with the line-out. If his line-out goes against him, but today he's on the button. He's tearing around this field. He's got an accomplice in Bundiaki. Now, this is the usual. We've got
a substitution going
on. Okay, maybe it's not the usual. Sorry, that's a bit unfair.
No, he got a bang during the middle of that play. He got absolutely smashed by the aforementioned Dave Heffernan.
That is the captain, Martin Koch, who we interviewed coming off. He's getting a sympathetic round of applause. They've got a 6-2 bench. So the number 21, who is Reese Huat, has come on. But he's finished for the day. He's holding his ribs. And he's looking quite gingerly. He's sitting down now inside the area. So that's a change. Both sides have made a change. Jared Butler went off and was replaced by Conor Oliver, with Cian Prendergast going to eight. That looked to be a HIA issue, and he's certainly gone past the 12 minutes. 33 minutes gone here in the first half. It's 10.
It's a Connacht scrum, even though we kicked it straight to touch. It must have been an advantage.
It must have been an advantage on it. So maybe that's why the kick went straight to touch. I don't know.
Well, it skewed off his booty. It just skewed off his booty.
10, Connacht 12. Here with 33 minutes gone. This is a fascinating game. And the referee's not happy, so he's going to do a little bit of a chat with the front rows. And as is usual, all the other players walk away so they can slow things down a bit. They don't hang around the area of the scrum. Blade waiting. Connacht are doing okay here, Alan. They've been asked a lot of hard questions in the last maybe 10-12 minutes, but they've done okay. They're still leading.
They certainly are. And that, you know, as I say, that 2 minutes of play was they filled in holes left, right and centre. Their work rate today is as good as I've seen it this season. Like, they really are working incredibly hard for one another, and they're getting up, and nobody's blaming anything if mistakes are made. They're just getting up and getting on with the game and being very professional about it, and it's something that they really see a chance to get to the next round, win this game and have a chance. Like, they saw
Blade puts in. Come back to that thought in a minute. Scrum goes down. Referee's going to give us another go. Alan?
Yeah, they saw Ulster go over to Montpellier today. We weren't given a hope, and they won 41-17. Now, admittedly, Montpellier were down to 13 players at one stage.
Well, they're down to 12, actually. They were running out of players. Two yellow cards and a red, which for a home team is shambolic.
Oh, it was. And, you know, they were even losing at halftime and did it. So they look at this and think, well, if Ulster can go down there and play against a, you know, top-quality team like Montpellier and get the result, why can't we? And Connacht need to be more like that. Get out there, get the wins in, give themselves some confidence.
Work rate, I'd say, is up with the Leinster home game and the Munster home game. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And who's on the field to help with that?
Well,
Mr.
Bundy.
Aki. Yes.
Did he play against Leinster at home?
Did he play against
I don't think so. That was after the World Cup, but he certainly did against Munster, and that was a win. And it's getting really messy, and that ball is slow getting in, and it's a penalty. It's a straight penalty to Section Palouse. 35 minutes 12 seconds gone. They're right in the middle of the field. What's the decision? Finlay Beelan walking away looks a bit disgusted. Maybe it went up at his end, but the minute the squeeze came on, it's one of the props has almost made this. Well, of course, Martin Pugh has gone off, so I don't know who the captain is now. Maybe the captain is Ziggy Fishhole, because he seemed to make the decision that we're going.
Well, props would, because he'll reckon that he won that penalty, so he wants points.
Oh, he's decided they're going for goal, because the tee has come on. Rather lethargically, the tee has come on. But the clock is running. He's already down to 53 seconds. This clock has made a big improvement in rugby, in the messing around at kicks, trying to run clocks down to 46 seconds. But it's straight in front of the post. It's about 5 metres inside the Connacht half. And it's the number 10, Joe Simmons. And this is to put Poe in the lead as we come up to half-time. He's ready to go. He takes a very short run up. Ball very high set on the tee, just leaning slightly forward. Boot the ball. Doesn't seem a great strike, but it is over. He didn't hit that maybe as cleanly as he'd hoped, but it had enough power and full lead for the first time in the game.
They do indeed. And like, when you've got a quality player like Simmons, like he was the captain of Exeter when they won the Champions Cup a couple of years back. He's a high, high quality player. I think Exeter were quite surprised when he left them last season, but he's making a big difference. And yeah, I think Poe deserved that 1 point lead.
13-12 they lead, 30 coming up to 37 minutes gone. It's collected in the air by Guillaume Ducat, and then they start this sort of an effort to drive forward, but they've changed position in the ruck. They've changed round, so Connacht are going to get the scrum. Did he knock it on?
He did, yeah. Forced by Finlay Beelam, who just walked away very quietly, because I reckon he did something he wasn't supposed to do there and managed to get away with it.
Interesting. I thought they'd been done for changing their position in the draft. It's a very lethargically weird... I know what they're trying to do, but there's no real... They're just doing it, but slowly.
They are. I think part of it is that they're trying to bully Connacht. I think this is why they have a 6-2 bench. They see that the way to beat Connacht is to beat them up front. And what they're doing is they're taking that and they're taking the driving maul, mauling them 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 metres down the field. And that's bullying. In French rugby, it's very much bullying.
So Connacht have this scrum. The number 8 for Poe is about half a metre outside his own 22. We're 20 metres in. Coming up to 38 minutes gone. Connacht could do with another score here of any sort. Take a penalty, get the ball. They've done much better in that scrum. Blade into midfield, finds Aki. Aki on the loop, he's overthrowing it, and it's kicked down the field, and Connacht are having to chase back here, and they're not going to win this race, I don't think. They're not going to win the race. Shane Jennings doing his damnedest, and Connacht have made the tackle, but it's about 5 metres from their own line. And this is fed out by Robson, and it's out to the number 4, and Connacht make another tackle. They're a metre short on this side, and this is a huge bit of play here. Robson feeds it out, and the try is scored. That is so, so simple, and that is a nightmare for Connacht. They couldn't reset, Alan.
No, they lost. You know, that sort of play. Bundy popped the ball in the air, and Blady was just slightly out of position. They hacked it through, and it's almost impossible to get themselves back. Winger out, sprinted Jack Carty, but brilliant work from Shane Jennings and unbelievable work from Cian Prendergast to stop that try initially. But the speed at which the French just got the ball in the second, third phase meant that Connacht could never get themselves back in play. Just very unfortunate. It looked as though if the ball had gone to Blady, I think there was a gap. Unfortunately, he didn't quite get it, and it was just a brilliant piece of opportunism from Poe, who took their opportunity.
You do feel it has rather changed the whole complexion of this game, because they're going to go in 8 points up.
Yeah.
And yeah,
and they're waiting for half time.
Yeah, they're running the clock. Simmons is watching the clock countdown. This is interesting, because there's about 40 seconds left in the half, but there's 60 seconds left on the clock, the kick clock. So he's waiting. He's about a metre in from touch. He's right on the edge of the 22. You wouldn't put it past him to kick this. I'm still trying to figure out exactly who scored there. Funnily enough, we haven't seen a replay of it. They've a sign up saying respect the kicker, which doesn't seem to be making much difference. The crowd are cheering him on. But this is a bit of a nightmare last couple of seconds. Last play again of the half for Connacht, and they're going to go in behind further. It's one of their own fans shouting and roaring, in case you think it's a Connacht fan trying to put them off. A few people going shush, but nobody paying any attention. Simmons has struck that. Oh, that's a fabulous kick. That is a fabulous kick. And yeah, it's half time, and it's all change here. Connacht, 15 minutes, they were leading 12-7. But now it's a different story. We're at half time here, and it is Poe 20, Connacht 12. They have a lot of work to do now, Alan. That's just come at a bad time.
It is, yeah, right on half time. Championship minutes, they call them, and that's just, they just did not need that. They did not need that mistake. They didn't need the mistake.
Okay.
So, you know, you're looking at a situation where Poe just pounced on it. But Connacht haven't been accurate enough. They've made 3 mistakes, let in 2 tries and a penalty from 3 mistakes. The rest of the other score came actually from good work from Powell in the meantime. But I thought when they got through that 2-minute section, when the line went down and they defended brilliantly, I thought, OK, Connacht have a real chance here. But then they weren't accurate enough from there on, and gave it to Poe. It's going to be an unbelievably difficult thing to come back from this.
I'm tempted to say Jared Butler going off has changed Connacht a little bit.
Yeah, they miss him. He brings a level of calmness and a level of authority to his play that you just don't get from other players. I think you might see that in 3 or 4 years' time from Cian Prendergast. But, you know, Gerrard's 32, 33. He knows it. He knows everything. He's an international class player. And when he was on the field, Connacht were dominating. But the scrum has been under a lot of pressure. They lost the last line-out that they had, which were two of the things I said we needed to make sure didn't, you know, they get control of. Finlay's under a lot of pressure. How he didn't give a penalty away on that last scrum, I don't know. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, we'll run through the scoring quickly here. Heffernan try in 5 minutes, converted by Carty to put Connacht 7-0 up. Zagur in for a try for Poe on 9 minutes, which Simmons converted to make it 7 each. Then Prendergast in for a try after a nice bit of work by Connacht, going 12-7. It wasn't converted. Simmons then kicked 2 penalties in the 25th, 36th minutes to make it 13-12. And right on the last play of the game, a loose or a pass from Bundy that wasn't read by Caelan Blade. It was hacked down the field to Amanasi to Imaba, and from the resultant play, Zigger, the number 8, was in again, and then Simmons, a beautiful conversion. He looks a fabulous kicker. It's half time here in the Stade Hamo. Connacht are hanging on. It's Poe, Stade Palouse 20, Connacht 12. Join us for the second half. We'll be back in about 12 minutes here.
Connacht Rugby live match commentary brought to you in association with Murty Rabbits Galway, the ultimate rugby venue. Late night entertainment every Friday and Saturday nights till 2 a.m. Visit Murty Rabbits Instagram for more. Murty Rabbits, proud to support Connacht Rugby.